So let us pray as we go into the word. Thank you for the stillness that we find in your presence, Lord. Thank you for those moments that we have to be still and know that you are God. And so right now, Lord, we slow down. We thank you for your presence and your peace that is already here. But thank you for another opportunity where we are to be still and know that you are God and that you are present. And for this we say thank you, glory, hallelujah, and amen. Amen. And our scripture for this morning is Philippians 1:6. One of my favorite, and it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And this is the second week of our new series, which is called Not Finished, The Weight and the Weight of Freedom. So last week, we kind of introduced the different aspects of what it means for us to wait, whether we can wait with joy, wait for patience, or are we being weighted down on this journey as we are in the presence of God and experiencing freedom. And so I thought it would be a good idea, well, the Holy Spirit gave it to me, that we're at that midway point through the year. And y'all, we've had some fabulous teachings up to this point. So you have a handout. I made a handout with some notes of where we've been along our journey. And I just want to revisit those for a moment as we go into how we can appreciate the wait, the W-A-I-T, of freedom, waiting. Even though we may think and feel in it, there are some things that are not finished. There's a way that we can wait that's not so bad. But before we get there, in January, we began with the end in mind. Y'all remember that? Begin with the end in mind. And I believe that's when we started with that first, where we are now on week 11 for me, or part 11, we are at remembering that we are spiritual beings having a human experience, right? So what do we learn back in January that we can take with us now and keep us moving to empower us to stay strengthened as we wait on this journey and experience that freedom? Just going to blow right through them. My favorite one, Yoda. The wisdom of Yoda from beginning with the end in mind. Yoda says there's no different. There's only what's different in our mind. Repeat after me. You have to unlearn what you have learned. There are things that we have learned along the way that it would benefit us. We just need to unlearn them. And some of those things are, I'm not going to go over them, they're listed for us. But what I really like about this series the most is the one scripture that I call the challenge scripture, because so much in the world tries to trick us into believing this is one of the things that we have to unlearn. And that is Matthew 5:48. That's why I put a big one there. Be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Y'all want to see the pastor trip out, roll over, act like she's been scalded with hot grease or water? Let me hear somebody say they're not perfect. Well, nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. Well, see, you have to read the first of, what is it, Matthew 1 through 47 to fully appreciate why Jesus himself, this isn't an opinion. This is a command and a decree from our Father, Elder, Brother, and the Holy Spirit that says, be perfect. And if we can remember the same way he said, be perfect, is the same way he said, let there be light. So we are created in the images of the, we are created in the image of the Most High God. And as children of the Most High God, created in his image, well, friends, how can we be anything other than like he is? Amen. Amen. So that's, now that's my soapbox. Y'all already know that. So we roll over. Oh, wait, wait, wait. My other favorite thing to live by, beginning with the end in mind, the four agreements. Print is kind of small, but you can see the main part. Be impeccable with your words. Take nothing personal. Don't assume anything, and always do your best. And sometimes our worst is the best that we can do. Whenever we are out here on the rough, ragged edge, trying to live out the gospel, sometimes that which we may call our worst, because I'm telling you, if you're at rock bottom, what is your best? And if you plummet into the ground or feel like you're in an open plummet, what does your best look like? Because I promise you, if I'm falling, I'm not going. No, I'm probably going to be kicking and screaming on my way down. Amen. So what is our best in the worst situation? This is where I truly believe God is inviting us to be more gentle with ourselves, which makes the wait even better. February, Heart Awareness Month, and that's where we have guard your heart. And we talked about forgiveness as a form and a way of guarding our heart. Again, we have some different points that we made on forgiveness and guarding our heart. We did 2 weeks in that. And so the scripture for that week or that month was, that series was Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And we gave you guys some statistics about heart health and how the word brain isn't mentioned in the Bible. However, the word heart is mentioned 826 times. And so the heart is a very important thing in terms of us being on this journey, taking care of it both spiritually and physically. Y'all remember tag? Tag, you're it. Thanksgiving, appreciation, and gratitude. We want to make sure that we are giving tag, thanksgiving, appreciation, and gratitude. Those are some of the ways, one of my favorite prayers to pray in all situations. I love you. I thank God for you. I apologize. Please forgive me for all the things that I've done to hurt, disappoint, disrespect, honor, or anger you. Thank you. I love you. Forgiveness is the key. If, what is it? Prayer is the key. Faith unlocks the door. Sometimes I get it mixed up. But there's a key. We have keys to the kingdom. One of the keys to the kingdom is forgiveness. And it frees us just as much as it does them. Y'all remember this as an act of love. How much more spiritual are we each day? How many? Say it like you mean it. Had y'all forgot it? I can be honest that I have not been saying I'm 1% more spiritual as I did when we first started, but I'm back on it now. So just remember, we're 1% more spiritual. I know we were told 99 and a half won't do, but I tell you one thing, when the Holy Spirit say, just do 1%, we'll take care of the 99, I was in like a Clemson football player. Fan two, all in, because sometimes it's a lot of pressure on us to fulfill the gospel and to even feel like we are worthy and we are doing what it is that God has for us to do. And I like the way they broke it down. 1% every day or every other day or when you finally get it. If you do it every day at the end of the year, you will be 365% more spiritual. So I can work with 1% more spiritual every day. Then March, we got to the spring cleaning, asking that important question. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath what? Clean hands and a pure heart. I even put a piece of notebook paper on the back for y'all that like taking notes, so it'll be handy. So you have a little paper back there too. And in March, we were beginning into the season of Lent, and we had ways that we could travel through the Lenten journey preparing for Easter so that we could be more spiritual. We were reminded of the sacraments of baptism and communion. I'll ask the question that I haven't asked in a while. When was the last time you thought of your baptism? When was the last time you thought about the intimacy of the water and what it means for us as we are reminded when we think of it, of how the waters of baptism refresh and restore us, nourishes us, and sustain us? Baptism isn't just what we do to join the church, or what we were encouraged or made to do in our youth because, well, that's what you do. Baptism is that doorway to the ultimate intimacy and partaking in the ultimate sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ for us. Think about your baptism and communion. What are we eating and how are we eating? What are we feeding our souls when we don't necessarily take communion, especially during COVID, whenever we didn't have the opportunity to meet together in order to participate in communion? How can we still experience the sacredness of our baptism and communion, whether we're just eating toast and drinking coffee? But how can we make our daily meals sacramental meals unto the Lord for our strength? Again, spiritual beings have a human experience. This is what helps us to ascend into that hill. And the Holy Spirit gives us ways that we can have clean hands and pure hearts. Skipping ahead, SAPs, spiritual acts and practices. That's how we can, when we wash our hands, anytime we come in contact with water, we can remember our baptism. Thank God for the water and the blood. Just being in silence. I love to sit still in silence. I remember hearing the Holy Spirit say, how will you ever be still and know that God is God if you don't stop? So being still, practicing stillness, random acts of kindness, just being kind, just for the sake of being kindness. Or being kind, forgiveness as an act of grace instead of a burden that we have to ravel our way through, knowing that forgiveness is an act of grace. Then we got to taking the L. It's not what we thought it was. And that's what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Lord, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And Julie taught us back then to be curious, not condemning. And Josh talked to us about from Hosanna to crucify him. And he had all of those wonderful displays and visuals of what it was, an idea of what our Lord Jesus Christ, what he endured. Sometimes we'll choke you up on our behalf. Then y'all remember the love contest? All those beautiful children and everyone that were here and that moving story of love? Yes, the price that not only Christ paid, but what also did our Father pay for us to be able to experience the love and the freedom that we have right now? And taking the L doesn't mean taking the loss. Like unlearn what we've learned. Taking the L means to take the lesson. Take the love. And there are times when we have to take our leave. And we have to be connected enough so that we are able to take the L as it applies to us. And the main thing that we want to remember from that is there's no loss in divine love. Romans 8:28, Romans tells us that all things work together for the good of us who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So in the divine mind, in the divine stratosphere of things, well, there is no loss. There's only divine love as we take that lesson and take our leave. And then we get up to May and June. Ooh, wasn't that good? How many of y'all know we have grace upon grace? How many of you know we need grace upon grace? Yes, we do. His grace is sufficient for us. We have to redefine that thorn theology that we have, that thorn that's in our flesh. I was thinking about that. I was like, ooh, Holy Spirit said, you ain't never went to the florist shop and got no rose with a thorn. We know how to de-thorn some situations for you. How about that? I thank the Lord when he turns it up and down. You might have to be, and even us when we're dealing with roses, with thorns, you know how to get a rose off the bush without pricking your hand and bleeding out trying to bring flowers in the house. So even with a beautiful flower that's full of thorns, we know how to handle that rose without getting stuck, without having the pain of it. We'll just babe. So let's unlearn what we have learned about thorns and know that our Father, Elder Brother, the Holy Spirit knows just how to make things work for our good. It may not be as thorny as we thought it was. Grace upon grace upon grace. Y'all remember our moment of foot washing? Have y'all been allowing Jesus to wash y'all feet every now and then since then? Today is a good day. If you're having any kind of day, to imagine Jesus walking into your room at the end of your day or at the beginning of your day and being before you and washing your feet. Just the beauty of grace in action is our process of regeneration. And I love this because it's a part of that Titus scripture. We deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, and we live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world because of our grace. We can allow Jesus to wash our feet as he did the disciples. And remember what he told them. No longer do I call you servant, I call you friend. So who are you really? We're a child of the Most High God. We've been taught we are sinners saved by grace, but from the very beginning, what if we would have been taught we were children of the Most High God? You know, it's just some things you will not do when you know who you are. I have to rewrite amazing grace because I will no longer be identified with a wretch, a broken thing anymore, because what's true of God is true of us, always has been. And these days and times, we have to know what our identity is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He did pay a price for us, didn't he? Did Jesus pay a price for you? Did he pay a price for you? He paid the price so that we can stand tall and know who we are in him by his word, by his blood that makes us perfect, not the fact that we know how to pull things together and do the rest. It's called bloody perfection. We are who he says we are because the price has been paid. And that's the beauty of the freedom of waiting and realizing finished, but not finished, but I'm getting ahead of the game. Keeping grace, y'all. We have to remember what regular grace is. Grace is God's reconciling appreciation, compassionate care, and empowerment towards us. And so God gives us grace so that we can extend grace to ourselves and others. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, Stop loving your neighbor more than you love yourself. I'm guilty. Thank you, Holy Spirit. They won't even say, let me say I'm guilty anymore, because it's been paid. We're no longer guilty. Watch this. I've done that before. They correct us just like this. So we're no longer guilty. What we say is, you know, I've done that before. That is truth, because the guilt has already been paid at Calvary. We're no longer guilty. We're learning the way that we go. So it's not really any mistakes. How is it going to be a mistake if you don't know what to do? And if you haven't learned it, then we're still learning, because once the lesson has been learned, there are no longer mistakes. It's just whatever happened. We're learning. I know that's a little way. Y'all say pastor let y'all off the hook too much, don't we? No. We are just re-identifying ourselves as the Lord Jesus Christ and our Father sees us. The price was paid. The blood has been shed. The suffering has already happened. Remember what he told us last week? I got this. Because he already knew we couldn't get it. So when he hung there, he said, I got this. That's what it is finished. He knew we couldn't bear it. He knew we couldn't walk it. He knew we couldn't handle it. That's why we get to stand in his truth and be 1% more spiritual. Thank you, Jesus. Grace, God's reconciling appreciation. Do y'all know God appreciates you? Of course you do. If you don't, pastor's here to let you know God appreciates you. Because there's a whole lot of bitterness, anger, hate, all kinds of things that we could and could not be doing, but it's by his grace that has reconciled us back to him that keeps us walking straight with a smile in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Keeping grace. I like keeping grace. Keeping is knowledge that enhances and empowers us to be positive, intentional, noble, and graceful. I love acronyms. Knowledge that enhances and empowers us to be positive, intentional, noble, and grateful. And then we had those three graces: prevenient grace, justifying grace, sanctifying grace. And as spiritual beings having a human experience, we know that it is only by God's grace that keeps us more spiritual. And now we're up to date about how we can wait. And today we are going to reframe what waiting looks like for us. Now, reframing and redefining wait means this. We don't have any notes for that. That is the wrap-up or the recap that you have the handout for. But what does redefining and reframing what waiting looks like for us? Reframing is whenever you have a picture, but the frame may be broken, and so you take that picture and put it in a new frame, or vice versa. But reframing is definitely how you look at something and put it in a different light. We redefine it. We have our Star Wars Yoda experience, and we unlearn what we've learned. So we're waiting on God. Something's on the altar. We're believing God, trusting God, and boy, oh boy, seem like we're having an Abraham experience, and we are 85 on our way being to 90. Or 100, and we're trying to wait patiently on God. What does that look like for us? Well, as Neville Goddard say, you can use your wonderful imagination. Do y'all know how to use your wonderful imagination? Let's practice using our wonderful imagination. How many of you have gone to a restaurant to have dinner, lunch, or whatever, and let's just say you had a party of four, party however many, or you just go, And you walk up and they say, how may I help you? And of course, they know you want to eat. So what's the first thing you have to do? We have to wait. So we have to wait for the table to come. And if it's going to be a long wait, they'll tell you, well, you know, it's going to be a 45-minute wait. It's going to be a 15-minute wait. We have a 10-minute wait. It's pretty busy. It's going to be about an hour. Sometimes they will tell you how long you have to wait. And it's up to us to define how you wait or how we wait. We're calling this the restaurant effect. When we are waiting, how do we wait graciously, lovingly? We wait with the restaurant effect. And there are steps to it. So sometimes you'll go right in, oh, come on in, we'll seat you. So you go and get seated, and then guess what? You have to wait again for the person to come, bring you your water, bring you your flatware, bring you the menu, and they'll ask you, can we take your drink? What are you having to drink? So they take your drink orders. And guess what? We wait again. But it doesn't really seem like we're waiting, does it? Not really, because that's just a part of the process of being in a restaurant. Okay, they come back, bring your drinks. And if you're at Red Lobster, they bring you those good biscuits to munch on while you're waiting. Some places have a nice little appetizer that you don't have to pay for, and they taste really good. Those pumpernickel buns at Outback. Oh, yeah. So those little thingies at, what is it, Olive Garden, Mom? Did you like to have those little things? Mama likes Olive Garden. They bring those little breadsticks. So you're not just waiting there forever and ever and ever, because they have to really cook the food. So whatever the order is, generally, it's made to eat. But we don't think about waiting. Waiting, 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 unless we have something to do and we're in a rush. And that's different. But when we use the restaurant effect, the Holy Spirit is saying, when we have those things on the altar that we're believing God for, just chill and act like you're at the restaurant. Everybody in the room may be eating except for you. But guess what? Not only do you know it's coming, it's going to be good, it's going to be hot, and it's going to be just the way you like it. So that's what the waiting, the freedom is of waiting is like for us as we're waiting on the Lord. The restaurant effect. And then there's another thing that you can do. Just imagine something else. Because sometimes when we're believing God and waiting on God for things, it doesn't always happen intentionally, so we have to wait a little bit. And that's where you can just use your imagination to go somewhere else. Women and men, have a spa day with God. I'm not that familiar with what guys do to have fun. Go play golf with God. Do a one-on-one with God. Whatever y'all do, play football, play catch with God. What do y'all do for fun? We go get our hair. What y'all do? You don't do anything? Work in the garden for God. I don't know. Tinker for God. Whatever y'all, that's it. You're usually with her. There you go. At least you know where you're supposed to be. But whatever it is that you do when you have your own time as you wait. Because, see, we don't want to have those heavy weights weighing us down like we did last week as we wait for God. How can we wait with grace? How can we wait with patience? Yeah, I went on a cruise with God last night. I overslept. Like, for real, I was all into that dream. And I told Brandon, if you wake up this morning before I do, just wake me up. Brandon was like, you got an alarm clock. So I literally almost overslept. I have not slept that good in so long. So I just imagine I was walking on the beach. Where were we? Oh, Barbados. See, I have to learn how to say it so I can get to go. Oh, I was just, smelling all the flowers. And next thing I know, it was 9 o'clock. I'm like, wait, we supposed to be getting ready to like leave right now. But I'm just saying, how are we waiting? How do we wait patiently and gracefully for whatever it is that God has for us? And the other one is, well, what is heaven like? What is your idea of heaven? I have two ways of thinking. One where Jesus say heaven is in the heart of man. So I'm trying to see heaven within me. And then here we go, unlearn what I've learned. I've been taught that heaven is out there, streets of gold, pearly gates. So I'm caught betwixt and between what I've been taught from childhood about a heaven that's out there and trying to connect with the heaven that Christ says I have in here. That keeps me going too. So as we wait, let's look at our situations from a heavenly point of view. And I already touched on it. Y'all, when Jesus says it is finished, what did he mean? They want me to revisit this because I think I blew by it real quick last week, but they want me to slow down and take my time. What? Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Jesus, what did you mean when you said it is finished? When you are hanging on the cross? Because that's what we're talking about in the wait. We're in betwixt and between the work in the Spirit. Everything we've prayed for, our healing, our release, our vindication, all of it is done in the Spirit. It is finished. Everything that we've ever been created to do, it is finished, but we have to walk to the finish line. So as we are in the not finishedness of the finishedness of Christ Jesus, that where he says it is finished, what did he mean? And I really, this blew my mind whenever it was broken down for me. Jesus looked from Genesis to Malachi, from Malachi to his present situation, all the way up to where he was hanging on the cross. And then he looked from where he was on the cross out through eternity. And he said, here I am, right in front of them. They don't get it. They don't believe. I've been betrayed and denied. And bless Thomas's heart. Well, I'm right here with him, and he still have to touch me and feel my holes. You know what? Bless those who believe that have not seen. Yeah, I told you to take up your cross and follow me. If you can carry your cross, you can do what I do. You can do what I'm doing too. He says, you know what? I got this cross for you. Whipped, disparaged, all of the traumas, atrocities, and anguish of what he suffered from judgment hall to judgment hall, being spat on, flogged, scourged. He said, they can't do it. They cannot do it. But you know what? I got this. And this is what sealed it for me. How many times have you either asked your child, your husband, your wife, your children, somebody, will you do such and such for me? And you realize they really can't do it. Or just say, you know what, never mind. I'll do it. I changed my mind. I'll do it. And when the Holy Spirit gave me that revelation of it is finished, it's like it's the weight of the world just fell off of me. Three new words. Oh, we say, I got you. I got this. Jesus said, it is finished. I got this. Because he knew by his shed blood, by his suffering, what he saw, we couldn't. And that's what you call grace. And that's why we are spiritual beings having this human experience, and we can stand on Philippians 1 and 6. And we can say it with fervor, with passion. I am confident. See, a lot of us have to deal with a lack of confidence, not feeling confident. There's so much in the world that confronts us, that tries us. But we can stand here and say, I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in me will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. We can say that with joy. Oh, stand on your feet, y'all, and let's say it together. I'm confident. Say it. Ooh, y'all did not sound confident at all. Come on now. Y'all feel confident? Say it. I am confident. I am confident. I am confident in this very thing. Ooh, that I can begin with the end in mind. I'm confident that my heart is guarded and I can guard my heart. Oh, I am confident that cleaning is happening all the time, every day. I am confident I can take this L because the love is there, the lesson is there. And honey, when I got to go, I'm going to put these shoes on and walk wherever I have to go, because that is what God has for us. Because why? We have grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. And his grace is more than sufficient. Ooh, and that's why we can wait. Because we are confident. Oh, Lord, let's just stand here in his presence. Oh, if someone has something on their heart and they want to lay it down at the altar, just lift your hands and surrender. In a mode of surrender. And acceptance. That's what I like about this motion.
When we're like this, we are both giving and receiving simultaneously. The most gracious stance we can be.
And so as we lift our hearts to the Lord, just take a moment in the quiet. Get back to that stillness. Showing us how to wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wait. Wait with good courage. How can we wait? We wait in his presence, knowing that in his presence there's fullness of joy. Oh, whatever you're waiting on the Lord, I've been sent here to say, it is finished. So just imagine what it's like to have it in your hand. It is finished. Just enjoy being in that holy, heavenly, sacred restaurant. Take your mind off it. It is finished. Lord, we come to you right now thanking you that even though it doesn't seem finished in the physical, we know that it is finished in the spirit. We thank you. Thank you that you know what we have need of. You know what we have need of. Therefore, the only thing I have to say is, our Father, who art. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever, for your name's sake and for your glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for teaching us how to wait. Let's give God a hand clap of praise this morning. Oh, how many of y'all gonna wait differently now? Wait differently in joy. Wait differently in peace. Just redefine and redefine and reframe what waiting means. And so we thank God for each of y'all being here this morning. And as you go forward and as you go out and you're looking at freedom and waiting a different way, receive this blessing and receive this benediction. Our freedom is both finished and not finished. And as we wait, we are empowered to wait with grace. We are empowered to be more confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And he will do, he does do, exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or think, for his name's sake and for his glory. Amen. God be with you.